Let us go to our God as we ask for his help in the reading and preaching of his word. Oh Lord God, this is your word, not the word of any man. Hear us as we cry. We need your help to properly hear your word, to probably read it, to preach it. O Lord, help us, we pray, by the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. We'll be reading 9 to 13, and if you have a church Bible, that's page 556. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he rose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This evening I have one thing that I want to impress upon your minds by God's grace. And that is that I want you to see Jesus' heart for sinners. The one thing, Jesus' heart towards sinners. We see in this passage his heart, and the central phrase are his words, "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And we have this story of Jesus coming, calling Matthew, the tax collector, and these sinners and tax collectors coming in, eating with Jesus, and the religious leaders complaining about it, and Jesus' answer to them. And he uses this opportunity to speak about his heart for sinners. Now, of course, we can sometimes get used to this idea of tax collectors and sinners. We read it in scripture, it just becomes normal to us. But we need to think about what that would have meant to those who Jesus was with, who originally heard this. And as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking, you know, tax collectors in a sense have never been popular and probably never will be. But there was a bit more of an edge here for those in Jesus' day, because these tax collectors, they were in coordination with the occupying force of the Romans. They were Jews, they were God's people, and yet they were colluding with the Romans to oppress God's people. I think, you know, in a sense, it's almost as if, in modern day terms, these were a combination of shady bankers and Russian operatives, if you will. That's probably not very politically correct. But anyway, it gives us a bit of an idea of how these would have been viewed. And then sinners. Of course, these are people whose lifestyles are completely contrary to God's authority. Most of us will know or have a vision in our minds, perhaps we would know it from our own experience, of a rebellious teenager. And they, having the authority of their parents, want in every way possible to go against that authority because they are in rebellion against their parents. That's, in a sense, what it means to be a sinner. To go in contrary ways to God and his authority. So we have these tax collectors and sinners. It's really good to have you with us, lads. Thanks for coming back in. Good. I just wanted to say, if you want to follow along in our time together, in the church Bibles, I think there are some of those brown Bibles back there. It's page 556, and we're looking at verses 9 to 13. So we see in this story, as I've said, we see Jesus spending time with tax collectors and sinners who were disreputable, people who others didn't want to hang around. Good people, in a sense, didn't want to hang around with them. But Jesus is spending time with those who come to him. And when others complain about that, he is using it as an opportunity to speak about his heart for sinners. So I want us to see this heart for sinners. And I want us to see it in 2 points. Jesus has come for sinners, and Jesus' heart for sinners' repentance. Jesus has come for sinners, that is his heart, and his heart for sinners' repentance. We see in this passage a question that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, put to Jesus' disciples. And they say, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now perhaps you've been asked questions before, and you know it's not just an innocent question. You've been asked something like, why are you so prejudiced? Or something like that. Well, of course, a question like that isn't really asking for the information as to why you're so prejudiced. In fact, it's already assuming the answer that you are prejudiced. And it's saying, why is this thing that I'm assuming the case? Well, in many ways, this question was like that. They were, by the question, assuming that this was a wrong thing to do. This was scandalous. This was contrary to what God would want, even. These Pharisees believed that the way to get into God's good books, as it were, was to do all the right things. To check all the boxes, and then you could be in God's good books. To clean up your lives, to do things right. And then you'd be right with God. You'd be God's friend. And so they took it upon themselves then to look down on everyone else who didn't do that. Because they were following the rules. They were the good people. And therefore, when others didn't do that, they could look down their noses at them. And it's in that spirit that they ask Jesus' disciples, why is your teacher? He's supposed to be a religious person. He's supposed to be one of the people who keeps the rules. Why is he hanging out with these folks? This disreputable lot. And Jesus answers. And he answers by saying, it is not those who are well who have need of a doctor, but those who are sick. Lads.
Yeah.
When's the last time you went to the doctor because you are well?
Last week.
Because you were well. Because there was nothing wrong with you. Exactly. It's a completely silly thing to do, isn't it? I think the doctor would probably laugh at you. Laugh at me if I did it. The point that Jesus is trying to make is that you don't go to the doctor because you're well. You go to the doctor because you have a need. And the doctor doesn't see well people. The doctor sees those who have something wrong with them. He sees them to make them well. So Jesus is saying, if there's nothing wrong with you, if you have no sin, I'm not for you. But he says more than that. He says to these religious leaders, he says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And he's quoting from another book in the Bible where God was rebuking his people because outwardly they were doing many good things. They were sacrificing, they were following God's law. But in their heart and in the way that they showed their faithfulness, they were not following God at all. It was half-hearted. It was outward obedience only. But their hearts were far from him. And Jesus' point in pointing this out to the Pharisees is that they're just like God's people of old. Yeah, they might look like they have everything together on the outside, but really, their hearts are not honoring to God at all. And in fact, they are sinners too. Jesus isn't saying that you're righteous and so I've not come for you. In fact, what he's saying is you're sinners, if you would realize it. And if you would realize that I have come for you as well. You have a need. The problem with you is you don't see that need. These others who have come to me, they know they've got a problem. And therefore they've come to me. You don't even know you have a problem. And in this, Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. And in that, we see his heart. His heart is for sinners. He has come for those who are in rebellion against God, those who are his enemies. But you know what? A lot of people today, maybe some of us here tonight, are a lot like those Pharisees in a sense. We don't realize even that we have a problem. We wouldn't call ourselves sick or ill. Just like you lads said that you've never gone to the doctor for being well, you know, that's one reason why a lot of people never come to Jesus, because they don't think they have a problem. They don't think they need him. But the reality is that we always run to looking for someone worse than ourselves so that we can make ourselves feel better about where we are. You know, I heard someone who works in prisons one time say that he would sit down with someone maybe who had murdered someone, and they would be very quick to point out that they weren't as bad as the next person. They were actually quite good, upstanding people in their minds. Because rather than comparing themselves to God's perfect standard, they were comparing themselves to a pedophile or whatever it might be. And that is exactly our problem. So often, we neglect to see that we too have rebellion against God. And the sobering thing is Jesus is saying, if that is your attitude, I have nothing for you. If you think you're all right, if you think you've got it all figured out, if you think that you can just go on in the way that you're going, I have nothing for you. But if you realize that you have a problem, if you realize that indeed you are in rebellion against God, that you do not love Him as you are, you're not giving your life to Him with all that you have, you're not trusting in Jesus, then He is for you. No matter what. No matter what you have done, no matter how messed up, how broken you might be, Jesus is for you. And He has come for you. That is the positive side of what He is saying here. Yes, I'm not for people who don't think they have a problem, but I am 100% for those who know that they need me, who know that they have no hope apart from me. And so we must recognize our sin. And we must have this same heart for sinners. This heart of Christ. Heart for those who know that they need Christ. Even for those who don't yet know. You know, Matthew probably wasn't thinking that he needed Christ when Christ walked up to him and said, "Follow me." And yet Christ went. But not only do we see here Christ going, but we also see Christ's heart for sinners' repentance. Christ is for sinners, not just in a general sort of way. He is for their repentance. That's what He says. "I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Repentance is kind of a word that we don't really use a lot. I don't know if you boys have really heard that word used very much. Have you? Ryan? Have you heard the word repentance used very much? Yeah. Well, if you listen for a minute, I can tell you what it is.
Yes, but by respect.
Well, repentance at its very core is about turning. About being in one direction and turning to the opposite direction. And in particular, turning from a course that is against God to turning towards Him. Repentance starts as we see both the danger of our sin. Sin destroys. It destroys lives. It destroys families. It destroys relationships. As people turn in on themselves and turn against God. And there is a great danger as a result. But the biggest danger is not in all the bad things that sin brings. The biggest danger is in God Himself. For He is a righteous God. And He offers forgiveness to everyone who will come to Him. And yet, He must also judge. If people will not turn to Him, He will hold them one day accountable for their rebellion against Him. And that is the biggest danger to sin. And repentance starts by seeing that danger, but also seeing that Christ has provided that we might not be under that danger. He has come. I spoke about how none of us can have it all together, that really Christianity isn't about having it all together and dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's before. But Christ did. He lived perfectly. And he took God's anger that was coming towards us if we trust in Christ. And repentance starts as we not only see the danger of our sin, but as we see the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Repentance goes on and sorrows for sin. It comes with a deep and true sorrow that grips someone. Not just because they see the negative effects, but because they see that they've offended God. And that grips them with a sadness and horror. And it goes on and it hates sin. It hates that rebellion against God. And it turns from rebellion against God. Some of you have been reading the book Church in Hard Places. It's by a Scottish minister who used to live in a housing scheme and be involved in drugs and all sorts of things. And God gloriously saved him. And now he's pastoring this church in a difficult scheme in Scotland. And he was saying that when he preaches and calls sinners to repentance, oftentimes people will come up to him afterwards and say, I want to trust in Jesus. And he says, oftentimes he says to them, that's good, but I want you to go away and think about it. And if you're serious about it, come back to me in the morning. And then they come back and he says, he's had people who are involved in drugs, for instance, sitting with him. And he said, do you ask them if they want to follow Jesus? And they say, yes. He said, well, give me your phone. And they say, well, why do you want my phone? And he says, well, I'm going to delete all the contacts for your drug dealers. The point is that he's calling them to a turning, to a change, to a complete changing of their lifestyle, not serving themselves and the things that they were going after, but serving Christ. And that's just one aspect of it. But that repentance calls us to give up old habits, perhaps even sometimes old friends who are negatively impacting in various ways, to form new habits, and to most of all, to serve and love Christ. But none of this can be done without the work of God's Spirit. This is not something that you do. It is something that God does in you. And so, if you find yourself desiring to know Christ, pray that God would give you this. Pray that he would give you this repentance, this sight of sin's danger and of God's mercy in Christ, of a hatred for sin, of a sorrow for it, and the ability to turn from it, to change. But if you know what that is, if you have repented, go on repenting. We never get to a point in the Christian life where we are done with repentance until glory. Go on repenting. Pray that God might give you the grace to do this more and more in your life, that your life might be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And call sinners to this repentance. Call them to a sight of their sin. Call them to a sight of Jesus Christ and God's mercy in him. Call them to sorrow for their sin, hatred for their sin, and turning. Let us not have a small view of this, but let us call people to a wholehearted change, that we might see the glorious work of God in saving sinners. Christ's heart for sinners was for them. He went to them. And his heart was for their repentance, that they might not stay in their sin, but they might be a people zealous for him, zealous for good works. May we be like our Lord in that, in our heart for sinners. Let us pray. Our Lord God, we pray that you would give repentance to those who hear your word and have not submitted to you yet. Lord, pursue till you conquer. And Lord, for us who know Christ, give us hearts that seek to repent, to turn from the sin which so easily entangles, which we find in our lives day in and day out. May we, Lord, also, in our repentance, be given more the heart of Christ, a heart for sinners, a heart that loves them, a heart that goes to them, and a heart which seeks their repentance. For your honor and your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.